Hysteria is brought to you by Books. This Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why you should send her farm fresh flowers from Books. That's short for bouquets.
And right now, you can get 25% off your entire Books purchase. Here's why everyone likes the Books company. Books is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano,
which I love. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Books is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now. And with 20% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. Erin, I love my Books. I love a flower that lasts forever, and my Books arrangements really do last a full solid week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have some sitting on my kitchen table right now, and they've been there for several days, and usually when I buy them at, like, the grocery store, they're sort of, like, starting to crap
fade out
pretty quickly. Yep. Not with Books. They stick around. They look beautiful. I like how they kind of slowly open up and become even more beautiful as they sit on your, you know, wherever
Absolutely,
you display them.
Because they're that fresh. So go to Books.com and use promo code Hysteria for 25% off. That's Books.com, promo code Hysteria. Books, promo code Hysteria.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
This week, we are joined by Akilah Hughes and Michaela Watkins to tackle the following questions. Is anybody really going to be okay in a post-Roe America? Why does a certain type of guy consider cat lady to be an insult? When are classic Lifetime movies going to get their due respect? All this and more right now. Okay, news. The news continues to
suck.
There was a report in the Washington Post, an op-ed in the Washington Post, that essentially confirmed that whoever leaked the draft of the SCOTUS opinion striking down Roe v. Wade in Planned Parenthood versus Casey was most likely affiliated with the conservative wing of the court, and that they still have the votes necessary to overturn Roe. That the court continues to be exactly as out of step with the American people as we thought, but bright, tiniest of silver linings, it supports my theory that whoever released the draft was a chaotic person close to one of the five in the majority.
Yes, you said that. It was, look, I expect nothing less of these people. Of course, they still support it. Nothing scares them or enlightens them.
Yeah, they're like completely out of line. Here's something that I've been thinking a lot about, you know, before we get into what people are trying to do to prepare for what looks more and more like an inevitability. I think, you know, a lot of the conversation about Roe has been like, look, the people most impacted will be people who are already marginalized, which is 100% true. But one thing that I've sort of revisited is this idea that privileged women, mostly white women, higher income women, people in urban centers, people who are more educated, people in blue states, will be fine, you know? Mm-hmm. You'll still be able to get abortion care. Republicans are bandying about the idea of a 6-week abortion ban federally if they take back Congress and the White House and the Senate. If they ever have the executive and legislative branches again, they're talking about a 6-week federal ban. You will not be fine. Like, I you probably won't be fine if that is the case. If you are a person who can get pregnant, or if you are a person who will be in your fertile years, who has a uterus during that time, if you're a woman who can't or shouldn't get pregnant, but there is a possibility that you could face a life-threatening pregnancy that you cannot carry to term, like, if there's a federal ban, like, that's, you're not going to be fine.
Not going to be fine.
You might be able to do a bunch of stuff and then be fine. But, like, let's come at this assuming, like, No, I mean, there will be people who have a higher likelihood of being okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, quote unquote.
Who will be able to sort out a workaround.
Right. But the thing is, I think that that breeds a little bit of complacency.
I agree.
Among people who are empowered enough to speak out now. I think that it is an important thing to point out that women of color, especially Black women, are the first people harmed by policies that make abortion care less safe and less accessible. I think it's very important to acknowledge that. But I also think that we shouldn't be drawing lines and saying like, but look, you know, women in blue cities, you'll be fine. Will you?
Don't know. I mean, look, there's a lot still that's undetermined. Like one of our listeners sent some notes, which I appreciate, listeners. When you have very constructive feedback, it's always helpful. That Plan B could be a problem. Dealing with women in the hospital who are coming in for rape kits, who have been raped. Like all of the trappings, and I have asked for more articles on this because I think it's interesting and important. But like there are so many things that haven't been considered in terms of what this really, really will be like if enacted.
Right. And another thing, like IVF.
Totally.
IVF, I mean, if an embryo, if a fertilized embryo, because that's what a 6-week abortion then is, it's not even a fetus yet.
Correct.
I think it's like at week 8, it goes from being characterized as an embryo to characterized as a fetus. And we've also let the like, quote unquote, I'll just say like the anti-abortion side dictate imagery around fetal development. Because all of the pictures that they show of like, oh, this is a 7-week-old fetus. No, it's fucking not. Those things are very scary looking, first of all. They look like tadpoles. They don't have any arms or legs, and they're so tiny. Like, and to imagine that that has an 8-week-old fetus. Sorry, I just made that distinction and then like spoke back. That's how like total, I think, the right-wing hijacking of conversations around human gestation have become.
Totally.
The thing is, like, you know, embryonic, like, blastocyst transfers will be impacted because if those are babies.
If those are babies, if you don't use them all.
Yeah.
What do you do? Is that abortion if you don't use all of your fertilized embryos?
I mean, if you ask a pro-life person, if a fertility clinic was on fire and there was a 2-year-old child trapped inside and you had a choice between saving a tray of 1,000 embryos or the 2-year-old child, which one would you save? None of them would say 1,000 embryos.
If they did.
There's something fucking wrong
with
you.
That is literally disqualifying as a, like, as a human.
But that's the thing. If a fertilized embryo is the same as a human child, then the choice should be 1,000, like 1,000 frozen embryos, you know?
Right. Unrelated to this, but in the same vein, can we stop talking about rape and incest? Isn't incest rape?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Let's just make some small changes to the convo and let's start here.
Right. Yeah, it's all ick. And I don't even know. I was thinking I had an idea, maybe, like a galaxy brain idea for us.
I love when you have galaxy brain.
Could we start a religion? Could we start
a religion? Listen, I don't have religion, so I'm open, baby.
Well, we just need to make up a god and be like, this is our sincerely held belief and have part of our religion be like everyone gets to have equal access to abortion as they deem appropriate. Like,
would it be smart if our God was just Mercury in retrograde?
I mean, maybe we could. It doesn't need to be. It could be like, you know, it could be a tube of red lipstick for all we care. It's just, it doesn't. We just need to say it's our sincerely held religious belief. Here's the thing about sincerely held religious beliefs. And I don't know. This is how like broken-brained I am after, you know, 6 months of sleepless nights. I have more sincerely held beliefs when it comes to bodily autonomy than I ever did about like tenets of the Catholicism I was raised with, you know?
Well, and Aaron, like when people talk about like deeply held religious beliefs, they're not talking about all religions. Abortion is not fucking illegal in Judaism.
Isn't it the moral choice?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. If the life of the mother, specifically if the life of the mother is in jeopardy, you're supposed to get an abortion. In Islam, I do not believe that there is anything wrong with abortion. And so it's like, let's be clear. We're talking about a fraction of religions.
Right, yes.
Who've got beef with abortion.
And it's all kind of made up too, because like there's stuff in the Bible where it kind of differentiates between the life of a pregnant person, of a woman, and the life of a gestating fetus or an embryo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, let's start a religion. I think that we're going to meet on Thursdays, I guess.
It's my favorite day of the week.
Thursday mornings, we'll say we'll meet. And we sincerely hold the belief that this is fucking bullshit. That's our sincerely held belief.
Let's take this shit to SCOTUS.
I mean, look, they'll figure out a way to use some jiggery pokery to get around the fact that the only religious beliefs that matter are evangelical, American, white nationalist, Christian sincerely held beliefs.
But let's just make them say it at least.
Let's make them say it. Speaking of making them say it, Alyssa, what's the latest in the U.S. Senate vote to codify access to abortion at the federal level?
Well, Aaron, this very important vote, LOL, that is going to, we're getting people on the record. So last I have heard, it's definitely not going to pass. Not anywhere close, it seems. Small shout out to Bob Casey, who is not pro-abortion, but will be voting for this because he thinks that it is important that women have a fucking choice. That ever, not really confusing, but sort of disappointing Democrat Joe Manchin sounds like he's against it.
He's such a douche. I'm sorry. That guy is such a fucking douche.
It's like, does he think that the people in West Virginia don't need abortions?
No.
I mean, this is the thing I always think. This is where the rubber hits the road with me. It's like, if you're an elected official, are you saying what you believe or are you representing your constituents? And this is like, I have a hard time thinking he's representing his constituents here, but, you know, so the vote will fail, but I guess going into the midterms, we will have it on record. Who believes in what? And none of it's shocking. So, you know, all the chit-chat and pomp around this is, you know, kind of falls flat for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Here's something that I realized with a sinking feeling when you and I were first texting about this, and you were very like, oh, why are we doing this vote? And I was like, I don't know, maybe, you know, whatever. If the Supreme Court rules as it appears it's going to rule and it overturns Roe and overturns Casey and makes it basically just a total fucking chaotic circus ass free for all among America's most tedious morons who are elected state officials. I just had this like flash of just endless year after year fundraising off of the fear of federal, like abortion being banned, or we must ban abortion, we must not ban abortion. And this is just going to be the like money raising pissing contest that both major parties.
So it is funny that you say that because last week, it was last week, right? It's been a lifetime, but when it leaked, and Aaron, I won't name check them here, but I will never forget all the people, Democrats, who are like barely up for reelection, barely have races, that are like, help protect Roe and donate right now. Shameful. Shameful. Mm-hmm. If you, in that moment and for the weeks that come, if you're an elected official with a huge platform and you're not in a close race, you should be using your platform to help like the Yellowhammer Fund and NARAL and people who are helping women who need actual help get the help that they need. And so I could not agree with you more.
I just can't. I can't handle this once every 2 years being like, you know, oh, well, I better throw money at this. Otherwise, 73 million people lose the right to what happens inside their own bodies. Like, I can't. I cannot. And like, I'm saying this in to Democrats and Republicans. I just cannot. It's not. It is so unfucking cool that
so
like,
uncool
that bodies would be human bodies are now like fundraising tools. It's just fucking shameless. What we need to do is like what is right by the American people and actually codify Roe, or you know somehow once we have a different Supreme Court. I don't know. Will we live to see the day? Once we have a different Supreme Court, have somebody mount a challenge to abortion bans in a different way than Roe was argued and win that way.
And then this always brings me back. I mean, it not just me. I mean, I'm not a fucking genius here.
Yes, you are.
But it's like, I don't know. At some point, do we really got to go back deep into the ERA? Like maybe is that the, is are we there? Are we there where this is like potentially the only thing that's going to help?
I don't know. I enjoyed Strict Scrutiny's conversation on this. If listeners want to hear more, definitely listen to that Crooked Media pod because it's been super enlightening to me too. Although sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'm a little lost here.
You know, I always tell you when we talk about the court, I always get a little dyslexic or something. I can't always understand.
It's like watching someone play Settlers of Catan and you're like, I don't understand the rules of this game. This feels very complicated. Anyway, thanks to the sacredness of the filibuster, it seems that we have we have nary the votes nor the ability to change the way that the federal government is gunked up. So the casualties of that are your rights, my rights, the rights of anybody who could at any point get pregnant.
Yep.
I have one more quick proposal. So start our own religion. That's proposal A.
Okay.
Proposal B. So we talked about coming last week, right?
Yes, yes.
I wanted to, a male ejaculate. I wanted to add a little bit to that proposal. I think that like, you know, if you're truly pro-life, if you're truly anti-abortion, because you can't say pro-life, this is like the one thing that they aren't pro making conditions more difficult for life. They're not, anyway. If you're anti-abortion, the only way to really prevent abortions is to prevent men from ejaculating into a person who could get pregnant. So that's the only way to prevent unwanted pregnancy, right? Because like if you just put a bunch of people with uteruses in a field and had us like run around frolicking, eating clover and like complimenting each other's manicures, nobody would get pregnant, right?
Right.
So I think there should be laws that if you are not financially prepared to support a child, it should be mandatory, and you are somebody that has sex with women or people with uteruses, it should be mandatory that you have a vasectomy. It's reversible.
That should not be controversial.
It's not.
That makes good sense.
100% of unplanned and unwanted pregnancies are caused by semen. So let's...
Huh. Problem solved.
Right. It's semen. Men are the problem.
Seems they would be.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Use that, like lift that and make that like a ringtone. That's actually like the ringtone that calls everybody to prayer at our church.
Semen is the problem. Men are the problem.
Semen is the problem. That's not the episode title. I wish it could be, but it's not going to be. Okay. Any protections at the state level that you think, Alyssa, will be particularly helpful?
I think all the ones that the states are enacting are helpful. I think that this is important because I have read so many stories and so many people who were escorts who would help people who needed abortions get to the clinic have been telling their stories on Twitter, and it has blown my brain apart. How disgusting, how violent, how invasive these people are who protest outside of places where people secure abortions. And Colorado, Massachusetts, Montana, and Maine have established a bubble zone that limits protests near the doors of a medical clinic, which like at a minimum, I mean, just feels like how can everybody not do this? Like we really can't, I don't know, we can't get on board with that. But no, lots of states, quite a few states have are enacting laws that will protect Roe, you know, most of the states that you would expect, not a lot of shockers. Texas isn't leading Texas places down south, not really leading the charge. But no, I mean, I'm glad that they're taking it seriously. Like New Mexico, Kansas, Montana, Alaska, Florida. And Minnesota, the right to an abortion is protected by a state Supreme Court precedent. So that's good. I mean, seems again like something that can be overturned since we don't care about precedents anymore. But any state that's doing anything to make their constituents, their citizenry, be a little protected is good. But I mean, all of it just feels tenuous, I guess.
Yep, it's all very tenuous. And I think it's very important. Look, I know that we're all anxious and we've been anxious for, I don't know. I think that the millennial generation has been anxious since 9/11. But, you know, just we've been at a heightened state of anxiety since the Trump years. I think it's just really important for if you live in a state where it's even up for discussion, that you pay attention to state and local politics and vote and help out in the way that you can so that things are protected for you at your local level, because federal government ain't helping you. They're going to raise money, but they're not going to help you. And I know that's cynical, but I feel like with this Senate and with the filibuster, it's not coming from Washington. It's going to have to come from state houses until we figure out a way to, until, you know, Alito is visited by three spirits in the night, the ghost of abortion's past, the ghost of abortion's present, and the ghost of abortion's future, and is scared into moral straightness.
And you know what? One thing that you and I have been talking about a lot this week that I wanted to actually just raise real quickly, the protests outside of the SCOTUS homes.
Mm-hmm. I wrote about this. Yeah.
I know you did. And I was really, I mean, mostly because I'm terrified of the QAnon MAGA crowd. And I'm like, well, we shouldn't incite them. Right. No. Here's the thing.
They've been incited, first of all.
I know. But I had no idea. And I'm sure if I didn't know that there are other people on this planet who did not know that the Supreme Court many years ago when I was in high school, and I am 46, upheld the right for people to protest at the homes of abortion providers. So, sorry, in this one, I was trying to be real above the fray. Sorry, nope, this one, goose, gander. Whatever's good for them is good for them. So if everyone's being peaceful and peacefully protesting, I'm sorry, but you did this to yourselves in the 90s.
Yeah, I was just thinking people who are kind of pearl-clutching over the protests outside of Supreme Court justices' homes, it's like, what is protest supposed to be if not reaching those that are empowered to make the change? Like,
correct.
Do they want us to just like gather in a field far away from where anybody can see or hear us and like whisper our wishes into the wind? Like, it's not a protest if nobody can hear it or if it's not like at least a little bit disruptive. And I don't know. Like, I just cannot respect the sanctity of the sidewalk outside of Brett Kavanaugh's home if he cannot respect the sanctity of what happens inside of the bodies of 73 million of his fellow citizens. Sorry, bro. I'm not gonna get upset about that.
Nope.
But anyway, consider the libs triggered. Okay, we have a toast this week. We're gonna end on a high note.
Yeah, just a little quickie. Jessica Cisneros is running for Congress in Texas's 28th district. This is a primary, and it's important because she is running against Congressman Cuellar, who is an anti-choice, anti-labor, pro-NRA Democrat who voted with Donald Trump and the Republicans almost 70% of the time in the last Congress. So, Aaron, we just want to flag. Early voting takes place May 16th to the 20th, and the Texas primary runoff is Tuesday, May 24th, and we are sending all the vibes to Jessica.
I'm sending all the vibes. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, a very special personal political. They're all very special, but this one is very, very special.
This is particularly special.
As a chef and a restaurant owner, I'm as meticulous about my cookware as I am about my ingredients. That's why I love Made In Cookware. Each pan they make isn't just designed to perform, it's crafted to last. As a mom, I love that I can trust Made In. It's made from the world's finest materials, so I can feel good about what I'm feeding my family. I'm Chef Brooke Williamson, and I use Made In Cookware. Shop chef quality pots and pans at madeincookware.com.
And welcome back. We are going to talk today about something I think near and dear to Melissa Mastromonaco's heart, indeed. At what point in your life did you start realizing that not only was being a cat lady not a bad thing, but perhaps an aspirational thing, Alyssa?
Oh, about a month after I rescued my cat, Shrum, right after Hurricane Katrina, and I felt love like nothing ever before. That is when I realized it was aspirational because I love that furry fucker so much.
But you also experienced probably rejection, or was Shrum just pure love?
No, that's why I said first month, because when I first got him, I didn't know if it's because he was a male cat or what, but he like wasn't taking a real shine to me. So John and Tommy had to come over, Favreau and Vitor, to my apartment, try to talk. They helped me put my IKEA furniture together and tried to talk to him. And then my boss at the time, Pete Rouse, came over, sat cross-legged on the floor and tried to talk to Shrum. And but then he became something that loved me. And after that, I never got rejected by that fucker again until he met my husband. And then he's like, what is this life of Riley I could be living? And so after that, yes. But up until then, we were just two best friends cruising this world, fighting for democracy.
Of course, I've wanted to talk about cat ladies for a while, or this kind of overarching idea behind the cat lady for a while. And that is the way that it is thrown as an insult or a threat. And what made me think about this is a tweet from a man who is under investigation for, I think, underage prostitution.
All kinds of things. Lots of things. Bad guy.
Yeah. He is not a good man, but Florida's first district representative, Matholomew Gates. I'm calling him Matholomew. Can I even be Matholomew? Last week, when people were protesting the leaked SCOTUS draft opinion overturning Roe v. Wade, Mr. Gates tweeted, "How many of the women rallying against overturning Roe are overeducated, underloved millennials who sadly return from protests to a lonely microwave dinner with their cats and no Bumble matches?" So that was the tweet that made me think, man, honestly, like, and I'm saying this as a happily married woman with a child that I love, the dream. Just for one night. Just for one night, every once in a while, coming home, returning alone, microwaving some trash, eating it, and doing whatever I want until I go to sleep. The dream. So we have two wonderful women to talk about this, neither of whom are cat ladies, but both of whom I think will have something to say. First up, she's an actor and was most recently on Hulu's The Dropout. And starting today, we're demanding an Emmy for her. Michaela Watkins. You hurt people. Do you ever yell, "You hurt people," after like someone ends, like in an inconsequential setting?
No, it's a great line. And now I probably can't, because people will be like, "We get it. You were on The Dropout." I was a cat lady. My last cat, you know, God rest her merry soul, left this mortal coil at the ripe age of 19.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And then I went, nosedived into dog land after that. But I had two cats for a very long time. So I can speak with some authority on being a cat lady.
I feel like if a cat makes it past age 15, when they get to cat heaven, they get to do a victory lap in front of like a stadium full of cats that are like, "Yeah, you did super senior, super senior."
They get to come back as Madeline Albright.
Yeah. Oh, God rest her soul. Up next, certifiable dog lady. You know her. She's a multi-hyphenate woman. She is the former host of What a Day. She's an actor and dog mom of Dr. Fauci, Akilah Hughes. Akilah, welcome back.
What up? Hello, good morning. Got my sexy sleep alto voice. It's like a radio call-in show now. But yeah, thanks for having me. Love my dog. Love him so much.
Oh, yeah. Your dog is a star.
Yeah, I mean, he's like an internet superstar. I want to figure out a joke for stand-up about how, like, I rescued him from Korea, but, like, I feel like I have to, like, say, like, rescue with, like, a lowercase r, because there's no way he would have got found and taken at some point. He's really cute. He was first to go, you know? He was always going to be rescued.
I always feel like they rescue us, basically.
He definitely rescues me from having to walk by myself. I hate walking around. Thank goodness he's there.
I mean, honestly, I think that especially in a place like Southern California, where it's sunny all the time, sometimes I think we take the weather for granted and we just like stay indoors. It's like counterintuitive. But after you've been here for a few months, you're just sort of like, nah, whatever, I'm not going to go outside. And dogs make you go outside, which is good.
Like five times a day. Like, it's really too much, actually.
My husband and I always feel like we'd be on dialysis if we didn't have a dog. Like, like we compare our pre-dog life and our post-dog life, and it's, we just walk so much. And we just think, God, we're barely, you know, healthy. So what would happen if we didn't have a dog? What would we be?
It's true.
Oh, man. I want to start with you, Akilah, to just dive into the, we don't need to talk about, you know, Matt Gaetz specifically, but I wanted
thank
to
you.
Kind of, yeah, I mean, fuck whatever, like, fuck that guy. He sucks.
Really? Yeah, he sucks.
why do you think that there is a certain type of guy who thinks that the saddest life for a woman is for her to not be stuck taking care of that exact specific type of shitty guy?
I think it's probably, you know, I don't want to psychoanalyze anybody. I have literally no psych degrees, but it feels very much like a maternal issue. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like he's like, Mom, I'm going to leave the house one day and you're going to wish I lived here. And it's like, she's like, no, get the hell out of my house. Like, it's been 18 years. Get a job, get a house. Like, please. And he's like, I'm the best thing that's ever happened to this house. Like, he just has this inflated sense of self, probably because when he was a kid, no one told him his shit stank. And then finally they got tired of him and he's like, no, what do you mean? Like, he's kind of trapped in that that era of his life. But honestly, I also think that it's like, that's what he's had to tell himself every time he's been dumped, which is probably a lot. It's like, now she's going to go have a cat. And it's like, right. And the cat's going to like, listen. And the cat's going to like shit in one space and not everywhere. Like, you know, cats typically have better behavior. I don't know any cats under investigation by the FBI. So like, I think he's got to tell himself something. What else can he do?
Oh, man. Michaela, where do you think the idea of the cat lady came from? And why do you think that it's, like, used as, like, this cudgel against women who maybe don't want to be around men?
I think cat women are massive threats to men. I think there's something, look, there's, I mean, I think just even symbolically, they're higher, elevated beings, you know. They're self-reliant, they're pretty autonomous, and they don't require nonstop adulation like dogs, and they can't be harnessed like a dog. They're independent, they're wily. They're often depicted with women who are, you know, witches and making tinctures to have large effect on the world, and women who feel completely okay with entertaining themselves alone. And I think that is a huge, massive threat to weak, piss-weak men like Matt Gaetz. And I think that when you have this way that you can go like, oh, you're just a crazy cat lady, it's just a way to belittle and demoralize women who are perfectly content and not reliant to look to a man to fulfill them for everything. Now, listen, I had cats and I wanted to be in a relationship sometimes. And I have friends who don't have cats and desperately want to be in a relationship. It is not a boon as to how much you want to be or not be in a relationship. Cats are just simply make when you being home joyful. And that you don't feel like anything is necessarily lacking. When I would come home and my cats would be waiting for me and there was a pulse in my house, I was great. I'd get into bed with my book. I was so happy, you know, and I dated while I had cats and a lot of guys were allergic to cats and my cats were incredible cockblockers and said so many guys. And I think what's honestly so threatening to men is that women look at their cats and go, it's either my cat or this guy who's sneezing his head off over here in the corner. And guess what? I'm choosing my cat.
Yeah. You're gonna choose your cat.
You're gonna choose your cat. And that's
terrifying. I've known them for longer. Totally. I've known them for longer.
I love them more.
Right.
Yeah.
I think about that
a
lot.
Yeah. I don't know you, dude.
Right. Like my cat's gonna come back. You don't have to. It's wild.
Oh my gosh. Alyssa, how did you react to the original tweet? And how do you react when that's kind of like tossed out there as a sign of a person being like sad or unfulfilled?
Well, it is. When the trolls come for me, it is the first thing they go for. They're like, you and your cats. You pathetic. It's like, okay, let's be clear. So to just go back to the OG Shrum for a second. Shrum is the reason I am married because my husband loved the cat first. He was like, this beast is magnificent. And I was like, well, me too. But I mean, it is just like, what's wrong with being a cat lady?
I don't know.
Like, so what did I pick? Like, the truth is, I think, that scares MG so much is that the cat lady, the satisfied, let's go specifically to like the middle-aged cat lady, the woman who's like, you know what? I'd rather come home to this fucking piece of fur that only moderately likes me most of the time. Like, let's be honest, the overly affectionate cat is rare and hard to come by.
They're a little too much for me. I need a cat that's like...
that's aloof.
Oh, yeah.
All of mine are a little bit like, hey, girl, love you. See you. But it's like, the truth is that I have picked somebody, the cats, that are like, they're my company. They're all I need. And it's like, they're better than you, Matt Gaetz, and all of your friends. It is better. My life is happier just being here than trying to meet more people like you if you are heterosexual and you're looking for a man. But like, that's his problem is that we're like, you know what? We're good. We're good. It is better to be by myself. I am happier. I am fulfilled. You are stupid. You are a pain in the ass. You are so not smart or entertaining. I mean, cats, all pets are like entertaining. Yeah. And he's just, they just think that it is the ultimate. It's like you, when they're like, oh, she's a cat lady. What they're trying to say is she failed at getting a man. She is going to fail at having kids. So she's a fucking loser and she just has settled for her cats. Instead of understanding that it is a proactive, positive choice to be like, you know what? My cats are better.
Mm-hmm. Also, the cat's like easy to blame because if it was just like a single woman you had to like shit on, it's like, yeah, no, I'm not choosing you. Like now he's blaming the cat as if he would have been the choice. It's like, no, if I didn't have a cat, I'd still be fucking sitting here not with you. Like that's how it is. You're gross. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
I love my own company. Like,
I mean, yeah, I wanted to like kind of drill down on that too. Like, Akilah, you're talking about how drill down. Why am I using corporate speak? I don't work for a corporation.
Drill, like, baby, drill. Good.
I'm severed. Yeah. Great show, by the way.
Amazing.
Holy shit. It's so good. So good. No, I wanted to talk more about realizing you prefer your own company because, like, Akilah, I have very much enjoyed following you on the socials and watching you turn your apartment into a palace. Yes. And like, do you think that
have you found that when the trolls come out for you, that they attack the fact that you have made a deliberate positive choice to like build your home into exactly your castle, to like have a dog, to like not necessarily like be seeking a partner above all other things? Is that like the first thing they attack for you?
They never attack that. It's usually that I'm black. No one ever.
Oh, really?
Brings up my
it's
dog.
Never, it's not like no man. No. It's not like no man. Like nobody wants to date you.
No, because I mean the funniest thing. I always get these tweets that are like, "Well, you're ugly," and then at least 15 people are like, "She's certifiably not ugly." I don't even have to defend myself against it. I'm like, try something else. And they're like, you named your dog Fauci. I'm like, right. My mom had a dog named Charles Manson. They're dogs. Like, who gives a fuck? What else? And like, of course, your birthday is in August. I'm like, you have nothing. You are grasping at straws. The other day, somebody was like, your name's Akilah. Oh, and I'm like, yeah, it's a beautiful name. What about it? And he was just like, I don't know. I need to hurt your feelings. And I'm like, you're not going to. Like, but no one ever comes for Fauci. Like, he's better looking than me. So, like, if anything, like, if he's on Twitter, they're probably like, your owner doesn't brush her hair every day. And I'd be like, you don't have to listen to that, baby. Don't listen to them.
Let's talk a little bit more about the overeducated part of the tweet. Like, what do you think that means, Michaela? What is overeducated?
Well, overeducated is a word that would only be used for a woman. I've never, you know him, you know Sam McDaniels, he's sadly overeducated. Nobody's ever said exactly. Overeducated about a man ever. Overeducated, I mean, we have to consider the source. And look, I know you don't want to talk about Gates. I know you don't, and I don't either. And my first reaction to that was the fact, was rage. And not rage because, obviously rage because there's like such stupid out there, but it would be like a roll your eyes kind of thing if it were anybody else. But this is an elected official. This guy is like, has a seat in Congress. This guy has constituents who elected him to office. And that's why I think we are talking about him. And so the fact that he demoralizes women like this by saying something, or thinks it's demoralizing, let's just say, by saying overeducated. And also choosing millennials. Like, he didn't say overeducated Gen Xers or overeducated Gen Zs. He's talking about the biggest voting body right now of women, and also the most childbearing ages of women, although for him, Gen Z or whatever comes after it would probably fall in his jurisdiction. And it's just, like I said, it's a term that he reserved for women to somehow think that it's shameful to be so disparaging and have such a discerning, educated mind to never choose a piece of a guy who looks like a literal walking fart face into your life. He does. He looks like the embodiment of your like, draw. Draw a fart face now. It would be his face.
Yeah.
And that, you know, unless I was like the most oversexed human, like if I was the last woman on earth and I had to have sex with somebody, even he, you know, I would be like, really? There's no other way to
maybe
continue
it's good
the
that
human
we're going
race?
Extinct,
do I
actually.
Have to?
Do we need to? Like, what if we just let it in?
We failed. We tried it. It didn't work. Oh, well, yeah. Goodbye. but women, you know, don't have to choose him. And they and I have a feeling that they don't, which is why he's moved on to having to, you know, sort of confuse and traffic women in order to be with someone.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We're alleging. I'm alleging.
Allegedly.
Anyway, overeducated, just like Cat Lady, it's another way to continue to shame women from being non-reliant on idiots like him.
Yeah.
It's a pretty lame flex.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that he's like, oh, women are too smart and they choose their cat over me. It's like, okay. All of a sudden, like, you problem. Still sounds like it's you.
Yes.
It just, and the thing that made me mad about the tweet, because I, like, was sort of like, gosh, man, talk to, like, clearly this person doesn't really interact with women very often. Like, he's maybe interacted with some, like, hacky tropes from the 90s, but he hasn't, like, really interacted with women. Because first of all, like, maybe we're microwaving stuff to eat. I got caught on that. I was like, a microwave dinner? Look, we don't have kids or a husband. We're getting takeout. Yeah. Like, we're getting nice takeout.
Yeah.
From the restaurant that serves that thing that my ex is allergic to that I could never get. You know, like, we're getting takeout. We're cooking a meal for ourselves. We're making a solo cheese plate. That used to be my thing when I was like not partnered, is I would come home and just like make myself an array of like cheeses with like a dollop of, I would act like I would play restaurant.
But Aaron, it's called a hungry man. It's not called a hungry woman. Like, microwave meals were not invented for to market to women, even though I love a microwave meal. I'm not gonna poo-poo that. Yeah.
I gotta say, there's like a really good lasagna one from Rao's. I don't know how you pronounce that.
I love that one.
It's delicious. And guess what? We don't put it in the microwave. We put it in the oven for 45 minutes, all right?
Yes, because yes.
Because we can wait like adults. It makes it right. Flavor.
He's premature wrong. Ejaculate our dinner.
Right. Yeah. I don't need it to be chewy.
Right, Akila. He told on himself with the microwave because I do put it in the oven.
I got 40 minutes. I don't wait till I'm starving to make my fucking lasagna.
He can't wait for a woman to become an adult before he tries to date her. He can't even wait for his lasagna to cook for 45 minutes.
Right. The man. He's like, I bet you, does he have a cat? What does he have at home?
I don't know. I'm stuck on like underage lasagna, like Matt Gaetz like sawing through lasagna that's frozen in the middle because he's like, I can't wait. Gotta have this lasagna now.
That's the only way you can make it. So that's definitely how you're making it. I'm like, actually, it has it right next to those instructions on the box. I just kept reading because I'm overeducated about the box of fucking lasagna. I read all the instructions and I made a choice.
Oh, man. Oh my God. So yeah, but here's another thing that I think it speaks to like a really big cultural divide that I've seen kind of become, you know, like in my lifetime, I have watched the Democratic Party and the Republican Party become kind of split more on gender lines than it was when I was like younger. So, you know, Democratic, you know, there's still some demographics like white women who are voting for Republicans, but less so now than they ever were, you know, and like gradually, like the women are sort of matriculating over to the D side. The men are kind of becoming more Republican across the board in terms of like percentages. So there's a part of me that wonders if this whole like stickiness about Republicans or conservative men being like, this dumb bitch wakes up whenever she wants, spends all day doing whatever she wants, comes home, eats what she wants, hangs out by herself, watches what she wants, and goes to bed. Isn't that sad? Speaks to the fact that like the two sides just do not communicate. Like, I don't think, Alyssa, you were nodding. Did you have something to add?
No. I was just violently agreeing with you, or enthusiastically agreeing with you.
Who's the most iconic crazy cat lady in culture or movies that you look up to?
Oh, Holly Golightly.
Yeah, ooh, gotta say
that's a good one. She's sad though.
She took in all the straight. No, but she's like gorgeous, and she's doing her thing, and she just takes in all the cats. She's like, come, cat, 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 and she's just like, fuck it. I think she's an iconic cat lady. There aren't that many, actually.
Yeah. What about Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman?
That's a good one.
Yeah, she's a Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, my superhero name is Cat Lady.
Exactly.
I'm not a cat lady. I'm a cat woman.
How do you say, who's the one from Harry Potter? Hermione? Oh, Hermione?
Hermione?
How do you say her name?
Hermione?
Hermione.
Thanks, guys. I never watched it or read it, but... I do know that on a plane, I sort of watched it and she had a cat and I really appreciated the Persian representation in the movie. Because a lot of times too, people are like, Persian cats are even more evil. And you guys know I got a house full. So I like her too. She's got a very nice orange chunk of a cat.
Nice.
There's nothing nice. Iconic about what I am that popped in my mind. But I think of, you know, the movie 9 1/2 Weeks? It was the Adrian Lyne movie with Kim Basinger and Mickey Rourke. Mm-hmm. And they just have S&M like fantasy sex the whole time. And then she's just sort of like, I'm out. But it's like a phase she goes through to part of her wakes up and then realizes it's dangerous. But anyway, she has a cat. And and the cat is this thing that sort of represents like come back to yourself part of the movie, you know? It's like she's got mm-hmm. it, she's with the cat and then she goes out and is kind of very self-destructive. And then when she comes home and she like looks at her dead plants and her cat that's just, you know, has that's just like walking around, you feel this sense of like, lady, you know, come back to yourself. Like you've lost your shit for a while, and you're better than this. You're more than this. You're a whole person. Like don't give all your power away to this guy. And it's something that I saw it so young, and it was very impressionable for a lot of reasons. But that I very subtly took away from the movie.
Hmm. Interesting. You talking about cats being like the come back to yourself prop in that movie reminded me of how Inside Llewyn Davis. You guys remember that movie?
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac at his.
Sorry for the those at home. I'm shaking my head though. Sorry, I've never heard of this in my life. That one didn't have crossover appeal. I guess that one seems like it didn't hit the streets.
It was a screener that you got and you never watched.
It's A$AP Rocky's favorite movie.
Inside Llewyn Davis is a movie where Oscar Isaac plays a folk singer in like the late 60s in New York, who's kind of like mm-hmm. the scene of folk singing in that at that time is like sort of like the stand-up comedy scene where it's just like people walking around doing shows, trying to get stage time and competing with each other and shit-talking each other and being each other's friends and community. But he's a shitty character and he's carrying around an orange cat for most of the movie to establish that he's not completely irredeemable. The cat is a prop to be like, this guy is not totally bad. He's taking care of something.
You know what's interesting? People really love a ginger cat in movies, right? I mean, aside from Mr. Jinx and Meet the Parents or whatever that movie was, people love a ginger.
It's because it pops.
Alien, Sigourney Weaver. Sigourney Weaver had a ginger cat that she was like obsessed with.
That's an iconic cat lady.
Yes. Yes. See, okay, good. We found a good one.
We found a really good one.
Yay.
I would go with Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I think it depicted Ooh. Cat and
also
lady
good.
Friendships pretty accurately. Like they were more like, you know, coworkers that razzed each other rather than like, I own you, you're my cat. Like I appreciated that like Salem was just about his own life. And, you know, he wasn't.
And
he just kind of lived
normalized having black cats.
Oh, yeah.
Normalized having black cats. The least adopted in shelters for no good reason.
Of all animals. And I'm like, huh. So it crossed over. That has crossover. Racism goes all the way. People are like, I like the cream and the Oreos. Oh, I'm like, no, you don't. You like the cookie. Stop lying. Stop lying.
Yeah, like
you would eat the cookie if there was no cream in it, but you wouldn't just eat a bag of cream. Let's be honest.
Oh man, I think that if they sold Oreos and just bags of Oreo cream, if someone bought it,
it's the most American thing think that
100%
DIY Oreos,
they'd sell it at Disney World.
They would have to make like grocery store employees mandatory reporters, like you know how social workers are like, I have this person is in imminent danger of causing harm to themselves. They would have to like call a mental health professional.
They have a cart.
They just put a chip in it.
Just the creams. They have literally 50 bags of just the creams. Something's going on.
And they've got a panic button only to be used when the bags of cream cross the conveyor belt.
It's a just the cream button that they hit. It just is like...
wrong.
You have to sign a waiver when you buy it.
Wait, did you guys watch Selling Sunset?
No.
Okay, fine. But she doesn't. I think Heather, whatever her name is, she had never had an Oreo. The whole finale, the whole reunion had a whole thing about it. I was like, who has not had an Oreo?
Yeah. I don't know. I think all of these people are like in an underground cult and they just bring them out for Netflix things every now and then. Like, now you work selling houses and they're like, okay, I wear heels and I walk uphill to sell houses. Yes, that's your job.
Totally.
I'll just go do that.
Oh, man.
Amazing. Amazing
right.
And true.
Oh, my God. I would watch a show that's just about the, like, the planet where all these people live as they're waiting to be called to Earth to be cast in.
It's confounding. Shows. It truly is. It's like, what? At what point did you decide 6-inch heels were the way to scale this home in the hills?
Yes. And also, why are you working for these guys? Like, what about them is appealing? Nothing. Like, I literally, I'm like, you could go sell a house by yourself, make more money, and not have to wear heels. Like, what is the appeal of any of it? Also, the houses always look like Apple
stores. That's a great question.
That got foreclosed on.
And how do they not, they don't know how to do anything, but they know how to somehow submit themselves for a reality
show. That's true.
Well, that's, I mean, this kind of, this, as off the rails as this may seem, I don't think it's actually off the rails because these women are like performing femininity in the way that a specific type of male gaze and female gaze like expects femininity, that specific type, to be performed. Mm-hmm. And that's like high heels, shiny shaved legs, long straight hair. Like they're doing the things that they're supposed to do according to like this image of like what women are. And I feel like it's sort of, you know, look, opt in if that's what you want. But like it's kind of bullshit to apply that expectation to all
and
of us.
And none of them have cats.
Yeah.
And none of them have cats.
It's probably illegal at the business that they're trapped at.
Probably.
I feel like they don't.
No,
cats.
She has cats. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like would love an episode where somebody like me is going to buy a house and I show up in jeans and my like dirty Vans and like a cute t-shirt and I look like ass and I'm like, all right, let's look at this one. No, it smells like hair. Like it stinks. Like let's go to the next house. We don't have to like linger and have a glass of champagne while she like talks to me at length about the granite countertops. I'm like, nah, this place looks like a garage. Let's go somewhere else. Like do it like House Hunters where I'm like, I just want like a coffee bar and like some sort of back house. Can we get two things? That's it. Like, I want a spinoff with, like, the regular people.
Right. In this part of the country, the entire episode would be you and the realtor driving 3 hours away from the center of Los Angeles to the first house that costs less than $1 million.
Exactly. It's like, hey, you know what's good? Yeah. Do you like living in San Diego? That's great. Not near the water, though.
Oh, real estate. What are we going to do? It's terrible. One question that I wanted to hear from all of you on is like, is there an equivalent insult that's flung at men and should there be? And you brought up Joe Rogan, Akilah. Like, well, I just feel like go home and snort some lines of your supplements and like jerk off to a Joe Rogan episode would be my comeback.
I would probably, I mean, I would say there is one, but I also think it's like probably more accurate for the kind of person they're describing. Like, I don't think that cat ladies are sad, but I do think that like guys who live in their mom's basement and like yell at women on the internet exist and are sad. And so I'm often like, why don't you just go tell it to your mom? Like, why don't you walk upstairs and tell your mother all these feelings? Cause I'm not here for it. Like, talk to someone who cares. She burning your Tostinos again.
There never was an insult for dudes until incel came around.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that ever had any kind of connotation about dudes that spend a copious amounts of time alone and have lost all social interaction abilities and are, you know, sort of homicidal, misogynist, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just the thing is like when women are alone... When women are alone, like, we enhance our lives and we learn to do other things, like become musicians or artists or a variety of things, you know? And I think when men are spend, you know, outsized time alone, they kind of get scary. like genuinely scary, too isolated, and it seems to skew pretty damn dark. And so it's not something that we sort of joke about or say off the cuff, because it is somebody that you genuinely are like, I'm actually afraid of you.
Mm-hmm. I think that gets a deeper truth, which is that, like, you know, there is a problem with, like, the way that boys are raised to maybe depend on women for their social lives and, like, their socialization and stuff. And maybe they don't have the social skills, or maybe their version of masculinity that they've been brought up with doesn't allow them to, like, reach out to each other and ask for help from other men, or, like, to connect with other men in a way that's, like, healthy and not destructive. And then that leads to a sort of, like, the sort of thing that you're talking about, Michaela, which is, like, isolation and, like, lacking the life skills to make the connections to, like, get to a better place. And also lacking the skills to identify that they're in a bad place. You know, I think that, like, mm-hmm. we're always, like, I think women, girls are socialized to, like, connect, be around each other, help each other out. Like, we're not – I hate the trope that we, like, catfight and compete with each other and stuff, because – I feel the older I get, the less competitive I feel about women that I'm around. I'm like, good for her. Yeah. Good for her. Yeah. I'm, you know, happy exactly. for you. You're pretty. You look great. You're doing great. Like, your skin looks great. You got a great smile. Mm-hmm. You got great glasses. Like, I don't think because this woman has this thing, that means I don't have that thing. I'm, like, genuinely exactly. happy for the collective increase of female happiness or, like, female excellence, you know? And I don't know that the same sort of, like, muscles are built in men in the way that they're socialized. And so, yeah, being alone, I guess maybe if you're a person who thinks that when they are alone, they spiral and they feel terrible, maybe mm-hmm. what's happening here is they're, like, externalizing that and using it as an insult against people who are like, no, actually, I'm fine. Nobody's asking mm-hmm. me for anything. I'm enjoying that I built my little castle around myself. I'm enjoying that I have this awesome dog. I'm enjoying that I have my four cats. Like, a person who thinks being alone is terrible and sad is a person who is sad when they are alone, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Amen. Projection.
That's a word.
I think that's an incredible on the spot summation of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I solved it, guys. I solved Mad Gates.
Really shine a light on that one.
I solved Mad Gates. Yeah, the other week, real quick, I'm gonna close before we have to do I Feel Petty this week. But the other day or the other week, we had we finally had somebody who was able to come and provide childcare. We had a very long time where we were without childcare. So it was just me and Josh tag teaming, keeping an eye on a four, five, 6 month old baby. They get more complicated the older they get, you know, like they need more interaction. Anyway, yeah. She's like sitting up by herself. She's trying to somersault off things. She's doing all kinds of things. And so finally we had a day where neither me nor Josh was going to be the one watching her. And it was like such a relief. And Josh was like, what are you going to do on like the first day that we don't have to like do 3 hour shifts with the baby where you've got like 8 hours? And I was like, I am going to go somewhere and I am not going to talk to anybody. And I don't want anybody to interact with me. I'm going to eat lunch alone on a picnic table. I'm going to read a book. I will not be speaking with anybody and I will not be answering any questions and nobody's going to need anything. And he's like, yikes. And I was like, no, the dream. Like sometimes you just need a day where nobody is asking anything from you. Not every day, but you know, some days. So, you know, I don't know. I think that coming home, microwaving what I want, going to bed, not having anybody ask anything of me every once in a while would be really, really nice.
It's called balance.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I feel petty.
As a chef and a restaurant owner, I'm as meticulous about my cookware as I am about my ingredients. That's why I love Made In Cookware. Each pan they make isn't just designed to perform, it's crafted to last. As a mom, I love that I can trust Made In. It's made from the world's finest materials, so I can feel good about what I'm feeding my family. I'm Chef Brooke Williamson, and I use Made in Cookware. Shop chef-quality pots and pans at madeincookware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria. Let's get some housekeeping done before we move on to what we're feeling petty about this week. Housekeeping. I'm so excited to join John Lovett on stage for this week's live recording of Love It or Leave It at the Hollywood Improv. Other guests include X-Ray Visions, Jason Concepcion, Dan Bacadal, and Atsuka Okatsuka. For tickets, head to crooked.com/events. With our constitutionally protected right to abortion under attack, abortion funds are working nonstop to make sure people can still access and afford abortion. You can donate now at votesaveamerica.com/Roe to split your contribution between more than 80 abortion funds. For analysis on upcoming Supreme Court decisions, listen to Strict Scrutiny every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, the house has been kept. Michaela, do you want to start us off? What are you feeling petty about this week?
Sure. So I'm in New York City right now where I don't live, but I really love it. And what I love about it is I think I've already dropped 55 pounds just walking to do things, not to set aside time to exercise, but to actually just go from A to B. So it's a very wonderful place for me. And what I love most about it is I just look, you know, do a lot of people watching, and I like to see what the latest fashions are. And the latest fashions are everything is fashion right now. And it's also everything that I packed up and gave away 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Everything that I don't have in my closet anymore.
Has lime green made a comeback?
Yes. Especially now that we're protesting abortion rights. So abortion bans, I should say. So here's the thing. I'm doing so much walking that I need a better sneaker than what I got because I'm getting shin splints. And I have been on the quest for the perfect sneaker. And I can't tell you how upsetting women's sneaker colors are. And I'm half size too small for the men's smallest sneaker. And so I have to go over to these women's selection, and it's, why is there not a dark navy blue and white with a, you know, little pop of yellow sneaker? Why is it lavender and lime and coral? I don't, why can't I have a bold color of a shoe that's not going to make my stomach turn? Why do I have to look like My Little Pony on my feet? I'm a grown lady. I want a good sneaker. I found a great sneaker, by the way. I'm not in the business of sponsoring them, but I did find a great sneaker. But I'm so sad because I'm like, can I just have the men's colors, please? And every single guy at every single store says, that is the number one thing I hear constantly, no matter what the brand is. How is this not reached the marketing heads? How? This is the number one complaint that women have about sneakers.
That's a good question.
I blame Instagram. I think they're like, oh, all the baddies are wearing the bright pink ones, so all the girlies are going to want it. It's like, no. Like, can we stop pretending there's one aesthetic? Can we stop? There's a billion aesthetics.
We're not a monolith.
Just give us the
I mean,
choices.
Doing a navy is never wrong.
Right. Give us a classic choice. White, black,
at least one.
Or, you know, give me what you think is a bold look for the men, because that's the color scheme that I want. You know, it's just that's the color scheme that I want. I don't like it, you guys. I just feel like...
It's like two summers ago when all Aaron wanted were red leggings. Remember plain red leggings?
I wanted plain red leggings for exercise. I wanted like primary colors.
Yeah.
For like women's exercise gear. And they just did not...
Oh, right. This is exercise gear. Yeah. So it's in sneakers. It's in sneaker land too. And I mean, just be better. Just do better, sneakers. Do better.
Yeah. I agree. Hard agree. Mm-hmm. Akilah, what are you feeling petty about this week?
Okay. So this week I'm feeling petty. I went to a CVS and, well, you know, I'll say that something else happened there. Somebody hit my car while I was in the parking lot, so that was shitty. So I would say, like, leave a note, asshole, but it's fine. In any case, the thing that I feel petty about at the CVS, and this is, you know, Walgreens or pretty much anywhere where you have to, like, physically use a card to pay in one of those machines, is that they always ask you to donate to something kind of random. They're like, the men's eyebrows, are you like interested in like saving them? And then I just say no. And the person always looks at me like judgy. And what pisses me off, the thing that I'm petty about is like, if I say yes, if I give my, if I round up for men's eyebrows or whatever the fuck, like I don't get that charitable donation on my taxes. That giant corporation does. So they're like, we give so much money every year to this, that, and the other. And I'm like, no, I do. When I buy my prescriptions, I'm paying for that. We're all paying for that. So I'm like, I'm more about direct action. And I think if you like actually believe in a charity or there's something you are passionate about, or even just like have like $5 extra at the end of the month, go find it yourself and donate it yourself. Because our government will not reward you for being nice to people at a CVS.
I've never thought about that. I've never thought about it that way. And you know, the other thing is like when they give it, say, oh, do you want to give a dollar to help, you know, breast cancer or whatever? It's you giving a dollar to CVS. Who knows how much of that dollar actually
we'll
goes
never
to breast
know.
Cancer?
Like, we'll
it doesn't,
never know.
Unless it says 100% of proceeds go. Because they're like, well, there's a processing fee and then there's a
exactly,
fee.
You know, like, and we need to take our cut. You know, the CEO needs another yacht.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? Maybe that's messed up and I'm going to get a bunch of charity people being like, okay, we're not going to get the CVS donations. But I think if people know this, maybe they'd be more willing to give, you know, on their own. I think most of the time when people turn that down, it seems like a much higher or some, but at the end of a year where you're buying prescriptions, it's actually not like that $20 or whatever, you know, pans out. So just, I would say, don't feel ashamed about saying no, because I am so tired of people staring me in the eyes like, how could you say no to like men's elbow cream? Like, why wouldn't you support that? And I'm like, okay, it's not that I don't support that. It's that I'm not going to pay it here. Okay. I'm not doing it. So that's my pettiness.
That's a really good thing to feel petty about. I think that's great. And that's a good, you know, public service announcement also. You don't need to round up at CVS. Round up in your heart.
Yeah, they rounded up inflation. I don't see them rounding down the price of the pads I bought. So, like, figure it out.
Right, right. Yeah.
exactly.
Alyssa, what are you feeling petty about this week?
Okay. Has anyone watched The Staircase yet on HBO?
No,
but it's is that one of those The Husband Did It things?
Well, okay. So here, that kind of, Aaron, you're sort of hitting my petty nail on the head. Here's the thing, is that all of these, you know, these HBO shows are very expensive. And, you know, so I know that it costs a lot. And I'm like, okay, so I'm watching this and it's like, takes place in North Carolina. There was a documentary about the show years ago. It's Colin Firth, Toni Collette. I watched the first three episodes and I'm like, let's be honest, that's just an expensive Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Like, and if that's what we want, it should be fine. But then like, let's not shade Lifetime movies because this is literally like just an expensive Lifetime movie. And so anyway, it's made me want to go back through like the greatest Lifetime movies of all time and be like, what can we reboot here? What if the little elevation and better stars would be the new HBO Max show?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was really like, I mean, it was, it's like I watched it. I'm going to keep watching it. But it's like, it's literally the premise of like probably 35% of Lifetime movies. And it, and those were done sort of like 20 years ago. Like Lifetime's not making this movie now. They made it like 20 years ago. So anyway, that's all. That was really just my petty is that I just think that like, it's like, let's not be so shitty to Lifetime because we're really just watching right now expensive Lifetime movie reboots.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Have you seen Anatomy of a Scandal? David E. Kelly's It's Lifetime on Lifetime on Lifetime.
See?
Like, no. You watch it with your jaw on the floor going, what? How dare you? As it rolls into the next episode and you're like, well, then I got to watch what happens. I got
to
find out.
Of course you do. And it's like, of course I'm going to watch to the end. But like, I don't know. It's like Lifetime's been doing it for years. Let's give them a little credit.
Yeah. I agree. You know. Okay, so I have like just a small petty before I kind of introduce a like new segment that we're just kind of like playing around with. I am over these like prestige multi-part documentaries that are essentially just a bunch of people taking way too long to tell the story that was originally an article. Like, I just let me read. I'll just read the article and I'll be done reading the article in 25 minutes rather than spending like 6 hours listening to people talk about it and over B-roll footage of like planes taking off. You know, like I don't need, this is taking forever. Like life is short. So that's what I feel mildly petty about this week. I also wanted to introduce something because we were talking about this one on our text chain, a segment that we are going to call if we get enough response from our listeners. So our listeners are very smart, and no matter what random ass thing that we call out for from them, there's always somebody who knows what they're talking about. So what I would like to do is make an appeal to you, listeners. And if you know the answer, you have a specific subject matter expertise on this or an opinion that's well-informed, please weigh in, hysteria@crooked.com. So this segment is going to be called Calm Down versus Stay Mad. I'm going to tell you something that I read online, and I'm like, should I calm down about this or should we stay mad? Is this really something that is worth getting upset about? So this is the thing that I am concerned about this week. Data security on period tracking apps. In light of Roe v. Wade possibly being overturned and abortion being criminalized in some places, should we be worried about data security on apps that help us track our period? And the assumption is that in a world where abortion is criminal, governments could subpoena these apps and get access to whether or not we maybe had a miscarriage or an abortion. Should we be worried about this? So listeners with informed opinions on information security, data brokerage, whatever, email us the answer. Should we calm down about this or should we stay mad about this? hysteria@crooked.com. And if we get sufficient answers, we'll have a conversation about that on next week's show. Okay, that's all the time we have this week. Michaela and Akilah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So happy you guys were both here. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die, per usual. And thanks to everybody for listening. If you like what you've been hearing, tell your friends, leave us a nice review on iTunes. You can email us, like I said, hysteria@crooked.com. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week.
Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer, and Brian Semmel is our associate producer. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis are the sound engineers, and our editor is Sarah Gibolaska and the folks at Chapter 4. Thank you to our digital team, Nara Melkonian, Nia Kelman, Milo Kim, and Matt DeGroot.
As a chef and a restaurant owner, I'm as meticulous about my cookware as I am about my ingredients. That's why I love Made In Cookware. Each pan they make isn't just designed to perform, it's crafted to last. As a mom, I love that I can trust Made In. It's made from the world's finest materials, so I can feel good about what I'm feeding my family. I'm Chef Brooke Williamson, and I use Made In Cookware.